E1, number 39A.
All right. For this last hour, I just want perhaps to point out one thing, namely scientific spiritual obstetrics. You know, we have been considering this week a very big subject. I think you all agree that it is showing that new paradigm of structure, approaching being through structure and through structural laws. And whenever something very big enters into one's consciousness, it is quite natural that at first it is a mental struggle, perhaps even an intellectual struggle, and that within oneself everything longs to get it spiritually and to get the spiritual touch of what one sees and acknowledges intellectually. This has always been a great point in religious and spiritual teaching. How can one lead thought out of the realm of thought into the realm of spiritual consciousness and spiritual tangible feeling? It is the step from the letter to the spirit. And I think one of the biggest statements that the textbook has is to show the science of birth, of spiritual birth, namely what Mrs. Eddy calls scientific obstetrics, which naturally has nothing to do with bringing children into this world, but has to do with the inward mental attitude necessary in order that a new idea becomes one's own idea, that idea becomes tangible and definite in one's consciousness, that idea has warmth, has magnitude, so that one feels the beauty and the grandeur of that idea. So I want to speak about how such a birth takes place. The Bible tells us a very clear story about such a birth. And it is quite interesting that really only John in the Gospel, of all the four Gospels, tells that story. The others don't, because John was writing the history of Jesus from the point of view of science. And so today, where we are living in a scientific period, in a scientific era, we too should see how, in a scientific way, we can give birth to a new spiritual idea, or even in a bigger way to say, give birth to the spiritual idea. So I read you this incident from the Bible. It's in the Gospel of John, where in the third chapter, John writes, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night," not by day, he came by night. He didn't want to be found out. And you can see at once that he hadn't quite the right attitude for a new birth. He wanted to know what Jesus had, but his attitude was not quite right. Actually, he was a well-esteemed ruler of the Jews, and so he couldn't afford to be found out that he was interested in a new dogma, in a new doctrine, in a new teaching, in a new idea. And so he came by night, not by day, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He had a spiritual inkling that what Jesus was teaching was actually from God, from the divine principle, that it wasn't just a new theory, but that it was a divine idea coming from principle. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Can you see, he had some inkling of the Christ. The Christ is that which comes from God, a teacher come from God. The Christ is that which can do those wonders, but only if God be with him. He could see that unity of the Christ, namely God with men, that Emmanuel sends God with men. And so he was wondering how he could do it. You see, it's the same attitude where we see something presented to us which seems to be big intellectually, which seems to be coming from truth and not from a person, and we wonder how we could get it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, this answer is interesting, that Jesus didn't answer and say, okay, come along, Nicodemus, I will teach you the principle and the signs of being. That would be a natural thing to do if somebody comes and says, you are a great teacher and you do the practice of that great principle, tell me how you do it. That the reaction would be, come along, I teach you. And Jesus didn't do that. He could see that Nicodemus must first have a spiritual receptivity for the teaching before he could teach him. So he told him that he must be born again, the new birth, that everything which he had, so to say, must be buried, dropped, and that a completely new birth, a renewal of consciousness must take place. But Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? You see, he couldn't get what Jesus was trying to put over. He took the whole thing again, materially and intellectually and in a letter way. He could only interpret the letter, and so he couldn't see the way out of it. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, now he tells him the way, be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water was always a symbol for the Word of God, for the statement of God, always for the elements of mind, namely the presentation of a conceptual sense of being. That's why water played such great a part in the Bible. So he said there is one way to do it, and he said to be born again must be born of water, the Word, and of the Spirit, the Christ. And if we do not go through the Word and the Christ spiritually, we can have no Christianity. We cannot be born anew, be a new man. So he showed him that order of world, Christ, Christianity, saying to him, you cannot be a new man, Christianity, except you go through the definite order of the Word and Christ. Actually, the Word means what we usually do, namely to get hold of a new teaching through the letter, intellectually. We think it out, but then must come the spirit of it, the Christ. So Jesus went on and said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he could see only that in the measure as the Word would be directed to God, to the seven synonymous terms, and that consciousness would fill itself with the consciousness of the Word, that only then we really would get the spirit of it, that then our seeking would become a finding, that in the measure as we touch the Word, something within ourselves touches us, and we are touched by the spirit of it. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. As if he would say, this is very natural. We should have a rebirth every day, every second. To be reborn, born again, so that really the birth is a continual process in our being. That we see that we are constantly in that state of receptivity of the divine, where we are open to the Word of God, and so that the Christ can take that Word and translate it constantly to our receptive consciousness, so that at the point of mind, really always the new light breaks in, something new is being seen, something is born again. And then he makes, I guess, the most interesting statement in this story. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Wind was the same term as spirit, so you could also read it, the spirit bloweth where it listeth. We cannot force the Spirit to flow the way we want to it would flow. The Spirit moves according to its own impact, and we can't direct it, we can't outline it, we can do nothing to it except to be receptive and listen to it. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You see what we were doing in those flow charts? We were saying, don't try to force the wind to blow where you want to blow it, to direct the spirit of something. We are in a state of listening, and thou hearest the sound thereof. This is the great change of birth that takes place, that up to now, or usually until we see this turning point, the student of Christian Science always outlines his thinking. He has learned so much in reading and teaching that he thinks, that which I know, I have to apply. And so he takes the whole bundle of data which he knows, all the truths he knows, and applies it to the situation. And this is wrong. See, that's directing the spirit humanly. We go and study the signs of Christian Science, we study the system of Christian Science, we study the laws of Christian Science for the one and only purpose that we have at the end of the chart, the science order, namely a structured understanding. So that when we have a structured understanding, that then the Spirit of God can blow through it, so to say, can take that structured understanding and use it in God's own way, in Spirit's own way. And we have to have that great humility to let go of all our human understanding. So, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Didn't we do that with the flow chart? We said we didn't know where to start. It just started somewhere. The Spirit could tell us or would tell us where to start. And we would not know where it goeth. We just had to listen from one step to the other how the Spirit flowed and would lead us. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you can see that letting ourselves be used by that flow of the Spirit, by that flow chart, but used naturally, scientifically, because we know then exactly when an argument arises, a positive or a negative argument arises, where we are in being, at what place value in being we are, and therefore can see that place value in its enlarged sense, in its structural sense, in its bigger frame of reference, and therefore it is clearer to us, it makes more sense to us, we have a greater insight into it. And only in this way, he says, do we experience the new birth. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? See, this was an enigma to him. Now, these flow charts may at the beginning be an enigma to us. That's always, with everything. That shouldn't surprise us that when we learn something new, no matter in which science it is, in which branch of science it is, when it is new, it's somehow a bit a puzzle. And slowly we find our way in it and find order in it, and slowly we get acquainted with it, and suddenly we feel there is nothing simpler than that. That's always so. What one knows is very simple. So don't let us be disturbed by that flow chart, because all what I wanted to show is let the Spirit flow you. And not, I'm going to make the Spirit flow. Then we are born of Spirit. Then the spiritual blows through, sounds through us, sounds through our consciousness. And then we don't ask anymore, like Nicodemus, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He told him, he said, you are a master of Israel, because he was a ruler of the Jews. He must have been a very well-esteemed and a very well-schooled Pharisee. And you can see with all his knowledge, he didn't know a thing. With all our knowledge, we don't know a thing unless we let the Spirit flow within us. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Can you see how he showed all three sides of the holy city, that there is an ascending way, but nobody can ascend unless he descends from heaven, the Christ. And he cannot descend except he is in heaven, Christianity. So he told him the whole story of the world, Christ and Christianity, and said unto him, you see, oh, I begin now to speak in Bible language. He said to him, you see, there is only one way. There is an ascending way. There is the Word of God. And we can learn the Word of God. But unless the Spirit descends, that ascension doesn't take place. So we need the Spirit that bloweth, that comes from heaven to earth. You are a master, what did he say, a teacher come from God. We need that Spirit, that descending way which leads us. You see, the Christ is always that divine message from God to man. So it isn't a message that man gives to God. As long as we want to outline the flow of our consciousness, then we feel that we can really define what should be done. Then it is not coming down. But when we let the idea speak to us, then we get the spirit of it. And so he says, but he that came down, no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Christ, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Christianity, we have seen, we always put man right back into its principle and begin to realize that actually that which is being born to us is something that has always been fixed in principle, that it is always an idea in principle and never something else. And then we have witnessed the birth, the outcome of the Spirit that bloweth, and we feel a new measure of manhood within ourselves. Now, this is the way that the Bible is speaking about the new birth and giving an indication of how thought should flow or could flow. And I think it's a big teaching which said, you Pharisee, with all your knowledge, you can't get anywhere. And so we too must see that with all our letter knowledge, knowing the letter, making a lot of notes and going over the notes and just staying with the notes and with the letter is fine to begin with. But it doesn't do the trick. Because the letter is that which we read and along which we think. And it's still an ascending, an approaching sense to God. An ascending to God. But we cannot ascend truly in reality except the Spirit comes to us. Except we listen. 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 Is there a soul still enough to hear God speak? That's a great question. Can we really see that within us there is no more anything that wants to outline anything, not even to outline our metaphysics and the way ideas should be put together and are ordered together? Can we just listen to the one individual specific structure which applies to a specific situation. Mrs. Eddy takes up the same question of scientific obstetrics in the chapter on teaching, and it's a nice place to put it in, because it's in teaching, showing that the teaching of Christian Science is a birth. That teaching Christian Science, again, as Jesus was telling Nicodemus, isn't just the water, but it's the water and the spirit. It's not just telling the elements of being, the system of being, but it is witnessing a completely new birth. And so Mrs. Eddy gives a very remarkable passage on obstetrics, and I will never forget John Dolley for having pointed out the importance of that paragraph. He taught that when I went through class in the 30th, and it did somehow hit me so much that I couldn't get away from it since then. Day after day, I would go through that paragraph, even if I had only a few moments' time to study Christian Science or to do some investigation. I would first give my time to that paragraph on obstetrics, because I could see what? I could see that unless I'm receptive, not like Nicodemus, but really spiritually receptive, all the readings I would do, all the study I would do in the textbook would just be water and not the spirit, and therefore would have no effect whatever on my life. That what I would be studying wouldn't sink in into my consciousness. That I would just heap up information upon information, data upon data, but that I would never really get the touch of the subject. So from the time on, I would, so to say, never open the Bible and the textbook until I had taken quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour, sometimes even more, to think through exactly, spiritually, lovingly, in standing in awe, this method of giving birth to oneself. To give spiritual birth to oneself.